Hi, this is Alan.
And the Grizz.
And just a few quick messages before the start of the episode. First of all, thank you very much for listening to Rise of the Robots. If you can, we really appreciate it if you can rate and review us at the end of the episode, obviously, on your podcatcher of choice. Ratings and reviews are how we get onto the charts. Really, we would really appreciate it. Also, if you subscribe on your podcaster of choice, that'd be fantastic. We are going to be airing episodes every Monday. Also, if you want to get in contact with us, well, you can email us at rotrpodcast@gmail.com.
You can also get in touch with us on our Facebook, which is Rise of the Robots, and our Twitter, at podcastrotr. That's podcast R-O-T-R.
And finally, just a reminder that Rise of the Robots is held under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 4.0 International License. Enjoy the episode.
Hello, I'm Alan.
I'm the Grizz.
And welcome to Rise of the Robots, this week covering Robot Wars Series 3, Heat J.
So yes, we are back on Skype. This is going to be the start of a full episode recording session. So if we sound a bit like Craig Charles by the end, that's why.
You'll be able to tell the starter of the recording and the end of it.
Yeah. This episode starts with, thankfully, the clip of the episode, we actually had the full intro this time. And my God, does Jonathan Pierce talk some shite.
Yeah, I've noticed that recently. A lot of it in some of the commentary that he does in a few of these episodes, funnily enough.
The other thing that's really weird as well with the intros, every time they show Big Brother, it's the clip of it being dragged backwards by Ultor. You know, the bit that it looks the weakest it looks in the entire episode.
Really? Because I can't help but feel as if that looks like it's a cool, like, tug-of-war thing that happened. Obviously, like,
it's a cool tug-of-war thing if Big Brother wins. Exactly.
Yeah. I wouldn't say the Big Brother done very much else in that fight for anything better to be used.
I suppose. Anyway, so we start with Craig Charles, who doesn't realise the difference between fish and dolphins.
Yeah, he starts talking about bigger fish, and then bigger fish,
and then
real big fish. I mean, I don't know what the ska band has to do with what he's talking about, but
I'm wondering if it's maybe he just watched Star Wars The Phantom Menace, mm-hmm. and he just liked the quote, there's always a bigger fish.
Perchance. But I doubt it, because nobody watches The Phantom Menace for fun.
Well, it was the year 2000. It might have just come out on video.
Ah, perchance. Because there were still videos back then as well.
Yep.
Remember VHSs?
VHS. I love VHS. Oh, we have a pod dog. Hello, pod dog.
Pod dog.
He is a Westie and he is the bestie.
Aww.
And he's gone. So, the entry list, we get introduced to all of our robots. So, we get introduced to Centurion, Overkill, the Iron Mask, Weldor, Excalibur, 101, King Buxton, and Eric!
Yeah, boy!
The Meme Lord is here!
And I've said this to you probably about 3 times and keep forgetting that I've actually said it to you. I genuinely love Eric. No meme, just genuinely love him.
Eric is brilliant.
Oh, he's the best.
I mean, this episode, see when you actually just list that list of robots, there's maybe one dud in that list.
Mm-hmm.
That is a phenomenal lineup.
Oh, yeah.
And it almost makes it a bit of a shame, in my opinion, that we then get episodes where
there's not even a robot that's as good as some of the robots that go out in the first round here.
Also, just like, I know this is very much jumping ahead to season 4, but Centurion getting a seed spot?
Yeah.
And not Eric? Because I don't know. I feel like Eric should maybe have gotten the 32nd seed. Because, well, let's face it, like, Eric done a hell of a lot better in his match than Centurion did in his.
Well, there's one key difference, but we'll get to that. Speaking of Centurion.
Yeah, and I was also I also fucked that up and forgot that Centurion beat Excalibur. I was thinking of his 101 match. Because I'm a dum-dum.
Yep. So, the first match.
From Dagenham, Essex. Centurion.
Which is a kind of slightly blocky robot. It is one of two robots that we'll see that is a combination of a forklift at the front and an axe at the back.
A backs.
Backs, a bum axe, whatever you want to call it. I believe Centurion are first-time team? Yes, they are.
Well, who isn't a first-time team is, from Wales, Excalibur.
Which might well be one of my favourite robots to, spoiler alert, lose in the first round.
And never show up again.
So Excalibur, it's the Disruptor team from last year. And this time they have brought a wedge-shaped axe bot with probably one of the most impressive axes in Season 3. And it just looks beautiful.
It is very pretty, yes.
Just looking at pictures of it. Oh, I forgot to mention, Centurion also features one of their team members is Ray Tate, who later goes on to be part of Grizz's favourite team. Anyway,
like, just it's funny that we're bringing them up, and I'm like, nah, I don't like them, despite the fact that we are going to be talking about Plunderbird in a few episodes, and yeah. How, like, I feel like their shtick really holds up, but for some reason, I just feel like the Scrum-a-Lot team just looks sad.
Anyway, this match is really close early on. I mean, both robots are very kind of very aggressive. Centurion's forklift is actually really effective in this fight.
Yeah, I'd say Excalibur was definitely winning on points at the beginning of this fight, and it was just they just happened to kind of run down. Yeah, I was actually really quite disappointed. I'd say both of these robots actually did put in quite a show, because one of the first hits the Excalibur hits with his axe goes right through the armor, and like it was right on like the kind of point of the wheel, the part that just goes over the wheel, and it's like, I don't know, maybe if it held on a bit longer, Centurion's wheel might have started to deflate and mobility wouldn't have been as good.
The one thing we do get as well, which is we get a couple of times in episodes like this, at one point, the two axes, the axe of Centurion, which it isn't as good, it is fairly effective. The axe of Centurion and the axe of Excalibur actually lock, and that is a brilliant moment when the two of them pull, and it's quite a tussle. Unfortunately, Excalibur kind of conks out.
Yeah, I think just interlocking weapons is just very exciting in general.
Yeah. But that brings us to the end of that match.
And seemingly the life of Excalibur, because it's never seen again.
Which is a shame, because as I said, it is really... I mean, it actually looks a lot sleeker than even robots that we see in modern battles.
Yeah.
It looks fantastic.
It's very ahead of its time.
Maybe a bit too ahead of its time. That was its problem.
Yeah, maybe.
So, next up.
From Kettering, 101.
Finally, a robot that definitely passes the Less Than Chaos 2 test.
Yay.
Because, as the name suggests, it was made for £1.01. And yes. It doesn't look it. It looks amazing. It's a fairly tidy design. It is a tank bot. I wonder how much of it was just lifted straight from RoboDoc.
Probably maybe why it cost a little.
Yeah.
And his opponent, from Western Supermare, Overkill.
Overkill, which is much like Excalibur, a really high-quality robot that goes out far too early. It is a bright orange, yellow, and white wedge bot with a heck of a lot of speed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very impressive, even if it does cost a whole 8 Chaos 2s.
Ooh.
It also is one of these robots that insists on having a chainsaw lifter, which was only a thing for this series.
Yeah, and a lot of people seem to be doing it. Forklift Revenge.
The logic of it works, it just didn't actually work in reality.
Well, because it's just one tiny chainsaw, I feel like that's not going to be enough to pull a full robot.
Yeah.
I mean, during the fight, Overkill came very, very close to pitting 101. And I don't really know what happened. It just kind of seems as if Overkill's kind of drive has, like, it was, like, very intermittent. So it almost seemed as if when it got close to the pit, it just kind of stopped. So maybe if, like...
What actually happened is... I remember the notes I actually took at the time, which I've had to improv a wee bit because I fell asleep whilst writing my notes and they went missing. But Overkill, it intersperses between Overkill being the more powerful, the faster robot, and because of its shape, getting underneath 101 very easily.
Mm-hmm.
And then long periods where it just sits and does nothing.
Yeah. And then, like, 101 would kind of bump it, and then it would just zoom across the arena.
If it actually can work consistently, Overkill would have won this match by judge's decision.
Yeah, easily.
Easily. I mean,
if it hadn't have broken down, it would have definitely have finally got 101 in the pit, because it got it very close to the pit on more than one occasion, and I think that if it just kept going, essentially...
And then eventually it does just conk out.
Yeah.
Kilowatt then flipped it over and decided to sit on its face.
Well, the thing is, like, there is this weird cut in the edit of the match where you see the two of them fighting and it seems fine, and then it just cuts to, like, the two cherry pickers. Then when it comes back to the arena, all of a sudden Overkill's just in Sergeant Bash's corner and that's it. It was like, yeah, they were nowhere near that area when the cameras cut.
There are weird edits in all the episodes, to be fair.
Yeah.
So that is a particularly weird one.
There's still, like, a lot of silence on the occasion as well.
Yeah. So 101, which I think we find both in this series and the next two series where it appears, it's more of a laster than an outright aggressive robot.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably the first example of a tank bot that really succeeds.
Yeah. It's definitely...
Even to the point where its final fight is basically its tanking hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head by saying it's definitely one of the equivalents of a robot that's built to last matches and hopefully, you know, outlast other opponents.
Outlast and push rather than, you know, a bit like the actual robot I would compare it with, and I know that you don't like this robot, but Tornado, it nags, it annoys, and it just kind of takes it, as opposed to another robot that is very often compared with it, and a robot that we'll be discussing later in this episode. Anyway, before that, we have our third match.
Yes. From Yorkshire, the Iron Mask.
Which somehow cost more than Chaos 2.
nearly two Chaos Toes.
Indeed. With the dinkiest little axe that you ever did see.
Oh, yeah. It makes a fucking Wedgehog look like it has a massive fucking, like, fucking shunt-style chopper.
It's a weird shape as well. It's basically a...
Yeah, this is the season of robots in weird fucking shapes as well. Like, because it's very much like the Dark Destroyer in shape, isn't it?
Yeah. It's the Dark Destroyer if the Dark Destroyer didn't have its little pod on the front.
Well, you know what? Like, in the run of episodes that we'll be doing, I've started trying to make robot tag teams. And, well, it looks like Iron Mask and Dark Destroyer are going to be tag-teaming in my fantasy robot Wars League.
The Iron Destroyers.
Yes.
Or the Dark Masks.
The Iron Destroyer sounds a hell of a lot better. I like that one.
So, their opponents...
From Northern Ireland, Weldor.
I think this is an interesting one because... The way I remember this robot, mainly because one of the first Robot Wars videos I have is the World Championship.
Yes.
And then there's... I remember Weldor as this was a really good, successful robot.
Yeah, exactly. Like, when we started talking about, like, building up to Season 3, it's like, I think that's the debut of, like, people like Weldor and... Oh, they're always like one of the robots that you fondly remember. And then it's like, Weldor was
only
not good.
Two seasons.
Three seasons.
Three seasons. And of increasingly diminishing quality very quickly.
Oh, yeah. I think Weldor 3, I'm just having a look at the photos of them. I think Weldor 3 done the absolute dirt worst out of any edition of Weldor. Like, I think Weldor 2 went out maybe in the first round of its fight, but actually worked properly, and I seem to remember Weldor 3 not even really working that well to begin with.
But Weldor 1, it is another fork and axe combination, this time with a lot more of a naturalistic curved shape.
Mm-hmm.
And it's ironic because, as we said, we remembered Weldor very well. I don't know about you, but I certainly didn't really remember Centurion. And when you look at them objectively, Centurion's probably the better bot?
Actually, so I stand corrected. Weldor was actually in four seasons. It was in 3, 4, 6, and Extreme 2. So there you go.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, weird Extreme 2 that has a lot of, like, bizarre robots that don't have any business still being in Robot Wars at this point.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I would say, like, because this is the thing, spoilers, fucking Weldor wins this match, and the two semi-finals are literally two robots with front-lifting forks and a butt axe against... essentially a box-shaped robot that can be flipped upside down with spikes as a weapon.
Yeah.
And I even went as far as to take that note in my notes saying this is essentially the same match as before because the robots are so similar.
Yeah. I mean, the Weldor Iron Mask fight isn't a great fight.
Yeah, like, the biggest note that I have of this fight is when they do the intro thing backstage. Like, this is a robot, Iron Mask. And then there's a bit where the dad says, oh, it's got this pickaxe. And then the kid moves it forward. And then you hear him just, like, under his breath go back. And then the kid, like, pulls the thing back. And it's like, actually commanding him while you're doing this. But, it's just like, it's really quick, but like if you just look out for it, you can just hear him go, it's got this front axe back, and it's also made out of da 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 da.
So what happens is early on, because Iron Mask has effectively a metal cane mask on the front of it, like the old style cane mask.
Oh yeah.
And Weldor just hooks its forklift underneath it.
Yeah, because it's like it's hollow. Yeah, so...
And then it's a kind of nothing match. Iron Mask eventually runs into Weldor, and Weldor just hits it perfectly with the forks and tips it over.
Yeah. It's just, I'm obviously, as Per, I've just got the match on in the background, and just watching its tiny little axe going, nye, nye, nye. And then the fact that also, on top of that, you know, the mechanism that runs the axe is just on the top of the robot as well.
Yeah.
It's not very good design. And also, it keeps coming up with a little photo of it, like, under the, like, when they're in the cherry picker and all that, and it has a big, like, feather that's obviously not in the robot it fights. But
maybe it was too close to the weight limit.
Oh, no. That dreaded heavy feather.
Yeah, indeed.
Anyway, yes, and I just say Weldor flips over Iron Mask. Let's get to a fucking king. And by king, I don't mean King Buxton.
Okay. Let's go.
Here we go. In fact, you know what? I'm going to save the best for last. From Portsmouth, King Buxton.
Former semi-finalist. They've completely rebuilt this robot. The only thing that stayed the same is apparently the chassis. They now have a saw blade, which I don't believe is used in the episode, and improved forks.
And his opponent, from East Sussex, Eric!
Grizz, why is your camera suddenly... What's that liquid all over the camera?
Sorry,
Never mind. Ah! Okay, Eric. So, Eric is perfection.
I spilled my hand lotion. Wait, no, that doesn't make it sound better.
So, Eric is a green wedge bot with a front flipper slash grabber?
Yeah, it is a flipper that also has teeth under it. So,
it's a cheese style grabber as well. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, it says on the wiki that it is similar in design to Razorblade, which I would not actually agree with, personally.
Yeah. So, this match is actually a really fast-paced, really even fight. I actually think it's kind of a bit low-key, one of the better matches of Series 3.
Yeah. See if it's maybe went really, a little longer.
It's two very fast, very well-driven, very well-made robots, really going back and forth. I actually think, in a way, this is probably the match that I most think, could one of these guys not have been in another episode?
Yeah.
I mean, Eric could easily be a heat finalist in Series 3. Very easily.
Easily.
Anyway. So,
in fact, you know what? Eric could potentially beat Stegosaurus.
I think Stegosaurus has the sheer power it probably could take on. If Eric was able to catch it, yeah, absolutely. It would give Stegosaurus a hard time.
It's just because, like, as you say, like, Eric is a very speedy bot, like, so Eric could, you know, he could get out of the way of some of Stegosaurus's attacks, and all it needs is that one good flip, and then that's Steg done, because it doesn't have any kind of flip, or a stream echo.
To actually talk about the match itself, the ending is strange.
Yeah.
King Buxton gets a fantastic push on Eric. And what happens is they just miscalculate. And what actually happens is Eric glides just over the pit.
Mm-hmm.
And King Buxton basically traps itself so that it's about 3/4, 2/3 away from the pit. But its two wheels are trapped in the pit.
Mm-hmm.
So gravity being a thing, that could very easily, if it wasn't for the fact it's leaning on Eric very slightly, which is itself sort of hanging on the pit. If it wasn't for Eric being there, King Buxton could have fallen in.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly King Buxton would have had a hard time getting out. And what happened is Eric goes to push backwards into King Buxton to pit it. And the way it pushes into King Buxton, it's able to basically get King Buxton's third wheel onto the lip of the pit.
Mm-hmm.
And basically King Buxton skates off. And Eric, all of a sudden, has nothing behind it. So it topples in.
Ugh. Eric. And
just like that, Eric is out.
God damn it.
And it's a real shame because it's legitimately, and I know that Eric is very much a memed robot, but legitimately for Series 3, that's a good bot.
Oh, yeah. Because the thing is, it was down to bad driving, essentially, because Eric went over the pit so much that I think if it just took another couple of seconds, it would have been able to sort itself out, get off the pit, then could have driven round the back end of King Buxton and pushed it in that way, and everything would have been fine. But it seemed as if the driver got a bit too excited and was like, right, go, go, go. He's on the edge of the pit. He's on the edge of the pit. Oh, no, we've just freed him. Oh, no, we've just driven in. No.
Anyway, that is the end of the first round of matches.
Hi guys, Alan
and the Grizz
here with a slight break from the main show. Just to say thanks to the people without whom this podcast would not be possible. Firstly, to Greg Watt, who designed the Rise of the Robots logo, before I butchered it slightly.
Also, want to give a quick shout out to Technolax, who do our theme song, Master Machine. You can check out Technolax on YouTube or their website at technolax.com to listen to all of their royalty-free tracks.
So we get on to the trial. It's football.
It sure is.
And this match, so it's Spectre versus the General.
Yep, now, season 8's the General. Season 9.
That's the thing I was actually going to... The only time either of these two robots appear in actual mainline Robot Wars is Series 8, the reboot.
Yeah.
Which is bizarre.
And just the same gimmick, essentially. Big giant-ass wheels and the same name, which is probably one of the most generic names ever. Like, it would only be more generic if it was a wrestler and not a robot.
Absolutely. So, for all that we kind of take the piss out of it here, the General is actually quite impressive.
Well, yeah, I would have genuinely loved to have seen the General in a fight, because with that big-ass scoop and those giant wheels, it's just going to have like a lot of like torque and pushing power, and I just think that would just absolutely bulldoze robots around.
I think the one thing that they maybe could have done for the football... It's just a flat edge at the front.
Yeah.
Which works here because Spectre's not that fast. But it did mean that they kind of struggled to control the ball a bit.
Yeah. So, now, yeah, it kind of needed those like little bits of plastic that you've seen in like season 1 and 2 when they played football.
Exactly. So,
but I mean, sorry, just once again, as I say, I've got this on in the background. There is a part where the General comes behind Matilda and literally just pushes her like
out of the way,
from the rear. Yeah, like there's a lot of power in this robot.
So what ends up happening is Spectre doesn't actually touch the ball, because the one time it gets close, the General bull rushes it out of the way. The General manages to get a run on goal. Matilda blocks the shot and then pings the ball into the net herself.
Yeah.
Which means technically the General scored because it was the last robot to touch the ball.
Rocket League rules.
Yeah.
The one thing that I have to say about Spectre as like his little like football shoes that he wears.
Yeah, he's wearing football boots.
Like that's a nice little attention to detail.
Also, its axe is really weird. It's yeah. got like a little. It almost is so small. I actually wondered if it was meant to be a spinner.
Spinner.
Anyway, let's move on to the semi-finals.
Yes, I'm.
Starting with the first of our Pusher Naga bots against Axe Forklift bots.
Pusher what bots?
Sorry?
Pusher what bots?
Naga bots.
Oh, thank God.
Pusher bots. Let's just dip that. Let's just edit that out.
Oh, come on. There was an implication joke.
I know that we're not NASCAR here, but no, I'm not going
to. Oh, Bertie, now you have to leave it in because that reference.
Yeah. Note to self, get more appropriate test words when testing the mic is on.
Yeah. Just N-word. Can anyone hear me?
I mean, it could be worse. You could have been talking about chicken on the back of a moped.
while driving through... oh, God, where was it?
I think it was Ethiopia.
That's the one. Yep.
Oh, Jim. Silly Jim.
And still arguably not the worst thing that someone said to recently.
Yeah. So, anyway... This match is really quite close because of the way 101's designed. It just keeps riding up Centurion.
Yeah, and because like Centurion kind of has that front bit where the forks are, that's kind of like a wedge thing. It's like it just keeps riding right up it. It's just all like constantly in its grill.
101 does manage to ram Centurion into the wall. And when that happens, you'll see something in Centurion just kind of die.
Yeah. Is this the match where Jonathan Pierce goes absolutely mental for 101's, like, tiny little spike that never does anything?
Yeah, it uses its spike, which, I mean, it's not exactly a Rhino-level pushing rammer, but...
No.
And we're going to see a much more impressive version of this weapon in a few heats' time.
Mm-hmm. Well, we won't maybe see the robot for very long.
Yeah. But, I mean, the principles sound, at least. And it does. You do see Centurion get pushed away by it.
Yeah.
So it does have some power. Anyway, after Centurion goes dead, Killalot just comes over and goes, I want to build my own forklift and axe bot. So, I'm going to take your forklift, and it rips off the forklift.
Fantastic. That was so depressing. It would have been great if just, like, in the next fight, like, the forklift was just attached to the front of Sir Killalot.
Like one of, was it Rottweiler with a yes. giant spike?
Yeah.
Like that, like a necklace.
Oh, yeah, like a necklace around his neck. It's like Mr. T or something. Yeah.
With his nemesis, Mohawk, as well.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to think what else. Like, because he's torn off tons of stuff. Like, he just has the chainsaw from Napalm just hanging out the back of him.
Like a tail.
Yes, exactly.
So...
There is one part, I don't know if you noticed, when Sir Killalot is picking up Centurion, you can actually see a chain dangling from under yeah. it. So it looks like the drive chains evidently went.
That could be what 101's knocked off.
Chance. If you enjoyed that match, here it is again.
Now, here's where I think you see the difference between 101 and King Buxton. 101 is a robot that bumps and barges and annoys, and mm-hmm. King Buxton, on the other hand, is a robot that rams.
Mm-hmm.
Because King Buxton has outright more pushing power, and in this match, King Buxton First thing, one, it gets hooked into Weldor's wheel arch.
Yeah.
And it actually takes the house robots physically separating them.
God, can you imagine that? Imagine a match like... Well, actually, we don't need to imagine a match like this in BattleBots, because we've definitely seen it before.
But what happens is that King Buxton gets torn right into the wheel arch, starts shoving Weldor around. Eventually, after they break apart, Weldor sort of grinds to a halt, because both sets of wheels are quite damaged at this point.
Yeah, I think the actual wheels themselves have maybe just been punctured and just let out at this point.
And then, as it's standing on the wall, King Buxton comes back for several ram attacks. Like, you actually see it wind up and run full force into it three or four times.
Blah, 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 blah. Take
and
that.
Then Sir Kill-Lot decides that in addition to his forklift, he needs an axe for his forklift spot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And after it went dink on King Buxton.
Yeah. I mean, like, maybe Sir Kill-Lot was just coming over to say hi, but the fact that Weldor started smacking Sir Kill-Lot in the face with it, maybe that's why he was just like, nope, that's enough of that.
Ooh, an axe for my forklift Xbox, thank you!
I've been looking for one of these.
And then, I love that after the fact, they do the interview with the Weldor lads, and they goes, the guy who drives Sir Kill-Lot wants this as a trophy.
and they get quite offended,
I think.
Yeah, they were like, I'm that angry, and they were like, no, give us that back.
Hey guys, Alan here, just taking a quick break from the podcast to let you know that if you are enjoying this podcast and you want to hear more, the whole archive is available either on your podcatcher of choice or on the Audio Boom website. Alternatively, if there is some other podcasts you would like to listen to between listening to us, there is a list published on the Robot Report of several of the most popular podcasts, a botcast list, as it's referred to on the website. We will have a link in the description of this podcast. So, on the podcast list at the Robot Report, it lists the podcast in question, a quick description about the podcast, and all the links that you can go onto to access their episodes. The podcasts that are listed include Behind the Bots, Extreme Scrutiny Club, Roasting Robots, Roboteers, Stand By, The Drop Zone, The RoboCast, The Robot Wars History Podcast, The Shuntcast, and of course, Rise of the Robots. So if you check out that page, it will give you plenty of listening between now and your next episode of Rise of the Robots. Let's get back to the final part of this week's episode. We get on to the final.
The rematch.
And it's almost like they designed this to be a grudge match.
Ooh, how convenient.
It's 101, the former RoboDoc team versus King Buxton. So they show that, oh no, this is a grudge match and we want revenge. And this match, considering it's effectively two pusher bots, I think this is a really good match.
Yeah, I was kind of agreeing with that as well. Like the way that for a match of a robot, two robots with no real weapons, let's face it, it's all about strategy essentially, and that's quite interesting in its own way.
Yeah, it's interesting it's not something you could watch every match, no. But as a one-off match, it's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have the explosive King Buxton against the much more heavy impact 101. When it does hit, it kind of hits. It hits more kind of pushing and nagging and annoying, and King Buxton's kind of running around and then coming in for big attacks.
Mm-hmm. Winding itself up.
And I actually think, as the fight's gone, at first I narrowly was giving it to King B.
Mm-hmm. I would probably say the same.
And then about 30 seconds, a minute to go in the end of the fight, King Buxton starts smoking.
Mm-hmm.
And this becomes a thing, because I'm sure they mention it in Series 4 as well. The way that King Buxton's designed, there's no airspace, there's no cooling in that robot.
Yeah.
Much like in Season 2, it had the same problem.
Yeah, so
the
problem in Season 2.
It runs really hot, and what happens here is it completely overcooks itself, and by the end, now, Hardvark might have been a bit annoyed by this if it had won after this,
mm-hmm.
but you can see as the 10-second count is going,
yeah,
King Buxton is just sort of crawling.
Yeah, it's just shutting down, essentially.
101's just kind of sitting just far enough away that King Buxton can't get to it in time. Almost like you get a battle between two warriors, and you've got one that the loser of the battle crawling to its conqueror.
Yeah, pretty much. It was just like, it's like, you know, the closing seconds of the 10th round where, like, Mike Tyson has been just beating up a schlub, and it's like, oh, they're still there, they're still holding on, but, you know, like, we can clearly see who the victor is.
So, unsurprisingly, by judges' decision, your winner, 101. This is the start of a really impressive run by 101 here. I think 101 does very well this series.
Yeah, surprisingly. Like, again, like, for the kind of robot that it is, I'm surprised how well it actually ends up going.
Yeah. Let's get ourselves some trivia. Centurion and Weldall, very similarly designed machines, both fought through round one, but fell in round two by breaking down beside the same wall.
Really?
Yes.
Hmm.
Second bit of trivia that we didn't actually know. In both of its victories, King Buxton's prongs broke.
It sure did.
The famous 101/King Buxton rivalry was addressed here, with 101 defeating King Buxton to make the score 1-1.
Ooh.
The four battle winners from this heat went on to be seeded in the Fourth Wars, those being 101, King Buxton, in Series 4 known as King B3,
mm-hmm.
Centurion, and Weldor in the form of Weldor 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
And finally, this episode was actually filmed on the birthday of Team 101 member Amy Franklin. Because we didn't mention this. 101's got a cute kid.
Yeah, she's like one of the only kids that I genuinely like in one of these teams that have kids. And it's probably because she doesn't speak very often and doesn't annoy me.
And she has Super Bunny.
Super Bunny.
Which becomes a thing in the World Championship?
Yeah, literally has like a little Superman outfit or something.
Yeah, they tried to use it to defend against Razor.
Well, I mean, I've heard worse ideas of trying to defend against Razor.
Yep. Certainly more controversial ones than some alleged to be cheap.
I couldn't think what you're talking about there. So at the end of the episode, there's a little extra bit where the King Buxton team talk about how 30 seconds into the match, they got too excited and broke the stick of their remote control. So that whole match,
brilliant.
That whole match was essentially fought with a gubbed controller.
Wow.
And
well,
they nearly won at one point.
Yep. So, let's start with overperformer.
Overperformer, you say? I would think Wilder, to be honest.
Maybe. I would say it maybe looked at it locked out in the draw a bit in terms of the seven robots it could have faced in the first round in this heat.
Yeah.
It probably got the weakest.
Yeah.
And as I said, it's more the fact that Wilder, the way you remember it, when you actually see it in action, you go, why did I think this robot was so good?
I know. Maybe it was just more the fact that Wilder was always used for these kinds of, you know, extra events. You know, like, it wasn't in the World Championship and all that.
It was the representation of Northern Ireland. Yeah. Weirdly, they kept it away from Diator.
Weird.
Yes.
But yeah, because I feel like that was maybe the thing was, it was probably just mentioned a lot more, and we just probably assumed in our head that way that it was better than it was because it was constantly, like, around.
Underperformer, you're going to hit me.
Mm-hmm.
It lost in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Chris?
Mm-hmm. It sure did. Yep. Well, it underperformed. I mean, you can't argue with results here.
Yep.
I mean, it's very much sucks to say, but it did.
And yep.
As I says, like, if it just kind of gave itself that extra couple of seconds, it might have made all the difference. And we wouldn't have had that 1-on-1 versus King Buxton rematch, because it would have been 1-on-1 versus Eric.
Yep. It's going to attack us at Robonode now, isn't it? It's going to come find us and hurt us.
Well, I don't know. I think Eric will come and be like, completely agree with you guys. I really screwed the pooch in that one.
I mean, even cost 4 Chaos 2s.
4 Chaos 2s. And it tried so hard to get into the reboot.
Yeah.
That would have been incredible. I mean, I only got to see 2 matches when I went to my Robot Wars TV taping. And I got to see Behemoth, Terra Hearts, and Razor in those 2 matches. But if fucking Eric came out, I probably would have streaked through the arena.
Yeah. So,
Naked Eric party time.
So, best newcomer, I would say Centurion.
I would 100% agree with you.
It's very effective. It actually won its match, which is the only reason that, for instance, Overkill's not in the running here.
Mm-hmm.
And
I mean, we did gush about Excalibur a little bit, but
Excalibur's a returning team.
Ah, pip, so it is. I forgot about that.
Excalibur's also almost 5 kilos overweight.
Ooh.
Speaking of Excalibur, we do need to discuss what's the most improved.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 quality robots. I think it has to be 101, purely by dint of 101 is a design that lasts multiple seasons.
Yeah.
And King Buxton didn't do as well as the previous version.
No. And it still has the same problem as the previous version.
Yeah, it doesn't actually improve a key problem.
Yeah, exactly. So therefore, we couldn't say it improved. Because, you know, if something continues to catch fire, that's a bit of a problem.
Indeed.
Even your dog thinks so.
Yep. So that brings us to the end of this week's episode.
Yeah, we did it. Eric. Yay.
So, next week, prepare the John Cena music. Because the champ is here! Next week. Wow.